And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. It's coming up to 10:33. You should be joined on the line now by Michael Cumming. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you today?
Not too bad. Now, Michael, it's that time of the year when we're all, well, most of us are heading away on holidays, and I suppose most of us go on a plane as well. But for a lot of people, it can be a little bit of a fear to actually get on the plane and go on the holidays. And for a lot of kind of ruins the whole aspect of planning your holiday. So you, you're a former pilot and you're a therapist, and you have, I suppose, this course is a Fly Fearless, and
it
to
is,
help people
is,
get
yeah.
off of this. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, to start off, it's kind of important to realise that one in six people have an anxiety when it comes to flying. And the typical profile of a person who has a fear of flying is somebody who flew happily for years. They're not people who've never flown, and they're not people who are, you know, just scared of everything. It's people who've been flying for many years. Sometimes they've been going on holidays for years. And then over a period of time, it just builds up to a point where the very idea of going on a holiday makes them anxious. And they start getting anxious from the moment the tickets are booked until they get on their holidays. And then when they're on their holidays, they're anxious for the last 3 days of their holidays before they fly home again.
And do you think it's something that actually happens to them on a plane on one of their journeys that triggers this fear?
It can be that. I mean, we've tried to, over the number of years we've been running the programme since 2008, we've about 1,900 people now have done the programme. And so we've been able to build up a profile of typically what happens. It's very often a person who flies when they're vulnerable. And what I mean by that is, that's a kind of a nice way of saying hungover. People coming back from stag and hen parties. People who travel when they're very hungry, very angry, very lonely, or very tired. We call it HALT, H-A-L-T. So if a person flies when they're very angry or lonely or tired, what will happen is they're vulnerable. And in the same way as, for example, coming back from a hen or stag party or, you know, anything at all that would make you a little bit brittle, anything that happens in the aeroplane is going to probably make you anxious. Typically what happens is a bit of turbulence. And turbulence, as any pilot will tell you, is not anything to be worried about. Every year, about 17 people around the world are injured in turbulence by, you can believe, scalding.
Really?
So in other words, hot cups of tea and coffee are the most dangerous thing in turbulence. The aeroplane's absolutely fine. And it's a kind of a reaction. You know, I was talking to somebody, and we had a course last Saturday, and they were on a flight, and there was a bit of turbulence, and a couple of people behind them were kind of, you know, yelping and getting screams out of them. And of course, that started to make them nervous, and now they were to the point where they didn't want to get on an airplane themselves. So, as I said, that's how it comes upon people usually.
And a lot of people as well would say to me, like, I'm not a great flyer. I don't mind flying. I will fly. And it's not the problem.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the plane crashing. It's more claustrophobic with me. I just feel a bit enclosed.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Exactly. Well, I mean, as a friend of mine who's a cabin crew would say, well, it's a bit windy if we left the door open. You know, the claustrophobia thing is actually probably a bit of a misconception, because people will say to me, oh, I'm claustrophobic on the plane, but they have absolutely no problem, you know, closing the bathroom door or going down on the stairs or going in a lift. What they really mean is control.
That's
we
it.
Have a huge number of people who actually, if they could fly the plane themselves, they'd be grand.
That's exactly
and
it.
The fact that you're giving over control to somebody else for 2.5 hours is a major issue for some people.
Yeah.
Major issue. It's about control rather than claustrophobia. Because if you sit down the back of an aeroplane, you know, and you look ahead of you, there'll be 29 rows of seats, and it's a grand big open space. It's bright and airy. The sun is shining in. It's blue sky outside. So it's not about claustrophobia, it's about control. It's
that's
because
probably
the person
right,
is saying,
yeah.
I'm not in control and that's why I'm anxious.
Yeah, if I want to get out, I can't get out, that's it. And I can't
land. Well,
you can't
if it's bad enough. I mean, I said this to somebody recently, oh, I can't get out. Well, if it's bad enough and you're anxious enough, then land the aeroplane somewhere else on the way and off you go to hospital. You know, you can get out, and they will get out if you're bad enough. So, you know, why you would torture yourself that you can't get out?
Yeah.
And yes, any stage you can. I mean, there's a person gets off an airplane at least once a week in Dublin Airport.
Are you serious?
Well, you know, just as the door's closing, they stand up and there's a big drama and they get off and the family have to decide, well, we're going and you're staying and that's it and off they go.
So that actually does happen, does it? I thought, no, I didn't think people would actually get to the point where, well, I'm getting off, I'm going to try, and, you know, I did think, well,
yeah.
I'm going to sit here and try and do it.
You see, it's a combination of things. Remember, the person's going to be wound up for days in advance.
Yeah.
By the time they get to the airport, they're hyper.
Yeah.
They're running around. As far as they're concerned, you know, as one lady said to me the other day, and when I was talking to her, she said, you know, she rang her family from the airport to hear their voices for the last time, and she made sure that they could find the will, and she said goodbye to the house when she left it. This woman was convinced that this was her last trip. Now, that's no way to be heading on your holiday.
No.
But, you know, we understand that. We have a full understanding now at this stage. And I say to people that it's not actually, and I know this is going to sound strange, but for most people it's not about fear, it's about stress.
Yeah.
And they're very closely related, you know, because the same person who's tell you that they're afraid of flying will probably be also having no bother doing other things in their life that would frighten the life out of you and me.
Mm.
But when it comes to being on an aeroplane, the stress is just something they can't tolerate. We do a little exercise on our course, which we run out near in the airport, you know, at the back of Dublin Airport. And we ask people to do a little bit of math. And we work out, you know, how long you're going to be away on holiday versus how long the flight is.
Mm.
And you'll discover if you do the math that your flight is about 1.2% of your whole holiday.
That's so true.
And what people are saying is they can't tolerate that discomfort for 1.2% of the whole holiday, and as a result, don't go. And that's something that has to be changed. I mean, my attitude is to it, there's a whole world out there waiting for us. You know, and we have a Facebook page, the Fly Fearless Facebook page, and we ask people when they've completed the course and they go on their flight to put up a picture of their, you know, from the window of the aeroplane. And we have the most wonderful collection of pictures taken from all around the world. We had a lovely couple who were on our program, hadn't flown for 38 years, and they were off down to Australia to see their grandchildren. It's something you can fix. It's not an illness. Mm. The person's not mad, bad, or sad, or sick. It's just stress in relation to flying. And when you learn that, you feel an awful lot better. And then you get the answer to some of your questions. Because it's funny, you know, if you say to somebody in a pub, "Oh, I'm afraid of clowns," or "I'm afraid of cotton wool," they laugh at you. But if you say to them, "Oh, I don't like flying," they say, "Oh, yeah, well, we had a flight to Malaga. Oh, it was horrendous. Oh, there was lightning." They'll immediately tell you their worst experience.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's one of the few socially acceptable phobias or anxieties, the fear of flying.
But it can really restrict a person's life as well. You know, I know of a girl as well that used to go over to Italy a lot, and because she just got some fear of flying, she flew for years, but like that, just got a fear of flying, and then did a trip over to Italy by boat and driving. So it took days, you know, and it restricted her life, and then she did get help and she's flying now again. But it can really restrict a person's life if they're that fearful of flying.
But if you understand, you know, that the part of our brain that tries to keep us safe, it's a little part of the brain, without getting too technical, called the amygdala. Mm. And it's five times stronger than the part of your brain that is logic into it. And that's why I would never, ever take people into a room and tell them it's illogical and give them all the statistics. And, you know, if you're six times safer in an airplane than you are in your own home, and you're more, you know, it's a 1 in 11 million chance of being involved in an accident, where it's a 1 in 6 million chance of winning the Irish lotto, you know. People don't care. They're absolutely not in the least bit interested in statistics, but that's not the part of the brain that's keeping them at home. The part of the brain that's keeping them home is the caveman part of the brain. It's, as far as it's concerned, you've done something which frightened the you-know-what out of them, and it's not going to do it again. And until you build up the trust again. You know, the typical one you get now is the person that's been on a flight, coming in to land at Dublin, and the airplane still goes up around again and lands second time.
Mm.
And people are convinced that's the end of their life, the world's coming to an end. But the truth of it is, that's a safety procedure that's done if it's very windy or gusty. That's a perfectly normal experience. But if you don't know that, you're convinced that something bad's happened. And the number of times people say, "Oh, we were in an emergency landing. Yeah, we were coming from the Canaries and we had to stop in Portugal because we ran out of fuel." And you say, "Well, hang on a second. What month was that?" "Oh, that was November." "Oh, well, in a windy November, all airplanes stop in Faro for fuel on the way up." You know, so it's about normalizing things, and also who you listen to. You know, because if people will tell you the most amazing pishogues and stories, and they'll always add a little bit to this, a bit to it.
Mm, that's true. But for someone who suffers with, you know, well, I suppose panicky on the plane, you know, I suppose one of their biggest fears, I've been told, that of just kind of losing control and, you know, wanting to get off. When you're flying the plane, I suppose wanting to get off the plane, which we know we can't do.
Yeah.
I think it's the fear of embarrassing themselves.
Take a few minutes longer. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, if you're going to have a panic, and I hate the word attack because it gives the panic too much power. But if you're going to have, you know, a panicky moment, well, the panic comes on a sort of a 1 to 8 scale. And at 1, you're having this feeling inside, but no one can see it. And at 8, you fainted. So that's as bad as it's going to get.
Mm.
And if you collapse, they'll put a blanket around you, an oxygen mask on you, and tuck you in and wake you when you get there. You know, in other words, there's nothing other than making a show of yourself. And most people on an airplane are more worried about themselves than you.
Well, that's true.
You know, that's why we encourage people to bring a coach on the course. We have an option where you can come on the course, but for just €80, you can bring a coach with you. And the coach has to be somebody who's not afraid of flying, but who will learn all the same techniques that we teach. And they're there on the flight to remind you, because the worst thing a person can say to you is, you're grand, you're fine, relax, you're making a show of me, I'm never going anywhere with you again. Because that doesn't help.
I know, yeah. I know, but I suppose it's, I know my sister was quite afraid of flying, and it was only a short flight a few years ago coming back from England, and like that towards the end she did get quite panicky, and the ambulance and all was waiting out when she got off the plane. It was, I'm never getting on the plane with you again. But as soon as she landed she was fine. But it is a terrible thing. I mean, I don't like flying, but I'll fly. But when someone's that terrified, but the course you're doing now, it's for people who as I say, are afraid of flying. So where does it take place and does it work?
No, it's an absolute rip-off.
Because people are saying, I'm not going to do this, not going to work, nothing works, I'm afraid and I'm not getting on a plane, but it does work.
No, I mean, to be fair, yeah, it does. We had the course audited recently at a 90% success rate. Now, that means that, you know, 1 in 10 people who come on the programme will still need further help and assistance. And we have plenty of people we can refer people to, because there are people who will do the programme who also have general anxiety about everything.
Mm.
The course is particularly successful for people who only have an anxiety around flying and not everything. You know, so that's where it's really, that's the way we've designed it. We have lots of assistants on the program as well. We have cabin crew and pilots who help. We use a flight simulator at Dublin Airport as well for part of the program. We bring people into the aircraft cabin. We've designed this now over a number of years to specifically work in that way. The other thing we're very proud of is the small numbers. There's a program you can do with one of the airlines in the UK, and they have 160 people on the course on the day. So, you know, you're one of a large group. We limit it to 18 people, so you get lots of one-to-one attention from it. The Fly Fearless program, as it's determined, we run once a month. Now, the next two are full, so I'm not actually, would you believe, plugging the places on it, because we're absolutely chock-a-block.
Well, so there
people.
Is a lot of people that have this fear, really, if they're full.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. As I said, we have a waiting list now for the August course already.
Oh, really?
Because of the way the... And it's only because at this stage, I suppose, it's word of mouth as much as anything else, because we've had some terrific successes with people who have, as I said, you haven't flown for years and suddenly find themselves off skiing around the world again. And to be fair, as I said to you, there will be 1 in 10 people who will need some more assistance and more help. Because, you know, the kind of things we've come across are people, for example, borrowing tablets from friends.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing you can do. You know, so you borrow a Vanity, an Anxicam or Lexapro, and, you know, you take it on the flight and it doesn't work. And then you take 2 more and it doesn't work. And then when the airplane lands, they all kick in. And, you know, I was talking to a man recently who borrowed Valium from his wife for the flight. It went off to Germany to do a deal, and when he came back, he couldn't remember what the deal was. He had to ring the customer and say how much to be settled for.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the reasons. And, of course, alcohol doesn't help either.
And a lot of people would drink, wouldn't they, to, calm their nerves and that.
You go to the airport at 7:30 in the morning, and I tell you, if you wanted to fill a course, you could hand out business cards there in the bar, because there would be hundreds of people in there taking a bit of Dutch courage before they go. And the danger these days, and this happens a lot, is that the crew won't let you on the aeroplane if you're not able to look after yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the other side of it. So to me, a cure, you know, people say, what's the cure? I don't use the word too often, because I don't think people are sick. I think people are just stressed about flying. It's to be back in control, to understand what the noises are, to understand how the aeroplane works. And you know, one of the little exercises I get people to do is, if you're flying to Malaga, for example, next week, is for every morning, you can go online onto the internet and you can watch the flight that you're going on as it goes to Malaga. And you can follow the flight.
Can you?
And it normalizes it for you. You know, you can actually see the flight every day, the fact that it goes there safely and comes back safely. You can see what the routing it takes and where it takes. I haven't gone to the stage yet. There's a group in America who will follow your flight and pray for you for $40 for the whole time you're on your way. But maybe that's a business opportunity for next year.
I don't think it's that frightening you more. I think if you're going to pray, you get there safely.
Exactly.
No. Can you get, when I said I was doing this intro, one guy that is, he's gone on holidays in August and he's terrified. And it's not probably specifically flying, but he's terrified of kind of... a lot of places that are full of people, like where it's very kind of busy. So he knows the plane is going to be very, very busy. So what he's doing now, and he took the chance of going up to the airport last week just to see how he felt, and he was okay.
An excellent idea.
He was okay for a while, and then he seen the plane taking off and suddenly got a very, very bad panic attack and had to leave. So to me, now I don't know whether he'll get on the flight at this stage, but that just came on him as well, just very suddenly.
Yeah, but you'll find that it could be, there's a number of reasons, and you can't diagnose somebody from a distance. But, you know, very often if somebody the same age as you is sick or dies, or a friend or relative, or if a birth of a new baby is another reason that people become anxious, a change in circumstances or job or career. Remember the thing I said to you at the beginning of the chat? It's about when a person's vulnerable.
Yeah.
That they become more acute. And flying is one of those situations that, you know, at the very basic part of our caveman brain thinks we should be doing this.
Mm.
You know, and there's a little, that little part of the brain I mentioned earlier before has another little function, and that is if you're ever on the top of a ladder and you feel you're falling.
Yeah.
It's the amygdala that makes you grab something. Now, if you're in turbulence and the airplane's bobbing up and down, you know, in what we call cobblestone turbulence, then your brain is telling you, I'm about to fall and die. Of course, you're not. You're in a moving vehicle and it's quite safe. But that's the argument that's going on in the person's head. Now, you don't want to be in the hole of your health to go, I'm grand. And if you're not well, if you're tired, if you're angry, lonely, tired, mentioned before to you, then what happens is the fear wins.
That's true.
So it's about getting yourself, you know, we call them strengthening exercises. You've got to do exercises before you fly, which include, you know, getting correct information. Remembering the cabin crew and the pilots, you know, when they finish your flight, they're going home to collect the kids from school.
Hmm.
They're not heading out. Whereas if you do a flight once a year for your holiday, it's a big adventure. For them, they do it 4 days a week, 5 days a week, and they'll do it for, you know, until they retire. So it's not the big adventure that it is in your mind. And the other thing that a lot of people get confused about is they confuse excitement and fear. Because somebody said to me the other day, oh, listen, I'll only be happy now when I go to the airport. I've got no feelings whatsoever. Well, that's not right. Hmm. Because even when I fly, I get anxious. I get anxious about, oh, will somebody be kicking the back of my seat for the whole journey? You know, will I get the seat I'm looking for? Will they have run out of duty free? You know, will the person beside me be digging their elbow into me for the whole way across? You know, traveling is anxious anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you've got other stuff on top of it, then it's absolutely quite miserable for people. But, and I did an exercise just with our team recently, which is I got people to go on flight who work with us and to pretend they were afraid to see what it was like.
Mm.
And it's not nice. It's absolutely not nice. So we understand what it feels like.
But as you said, when you get to, when you're in a panic and it goes from 1 to 8,
yeah,
it'll always, you know, it will always come back down. You'll always feel okay. You know, you'll probably get to a stage where you feel, oh, I can't do this anymore and I'm going to lose my mind. But it will always, you'll always get back that kind of, I suppose, relaxed feeling.
Yeah, there's a couple of things you should do. First of all, don't try and distract yourself by reading, because you just read the same sentence over and over again.
Mm.
So that's the thing. One of the very simple things you can do, and I actually make the joke about, you go along and you get these specially imported Swedish straws, the plastic straws you get in IKEA, the big thick ones.
Yeah.
And you cut one of those in half and you breathe through that straw when you're anxious. And I guarantee you can't have a panic attack if you're breathing through a straw.
Okay.
Right? Because it'll slow your breathing down. The next thing you do is you try an exercise and you look for a person who's more anxious than you are. The number of times people who have a fear of flying will tell you, well, actually, there was a man or a woman who was worse than me and I actually helped them and I was grand.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you need to recalibrate yourself to what's normal and look around you. You know, there's a very funny story that we heard on the course recently. Somebody telling us they were coming back on the flight from New York and everyone was fast asleep. And there they were with their light on, sitting bolt upright, gripping the armrests all the way across the North Atlantic, listening to the engines. And incredibly angry at how dare everybody else be asleep. Did they not know what danger they were in? Now, if you flip that on its head, everybody else was right.
Yeah.
And they were wrong.
Yeah? That's true.
So, you know, that's part of panic. Panic is when your body is doing its best to help you. Now, it'll stop the minute it recognises that you or somebody else is back in control.
Hmm.
And that's what it is. You know when people say they want to be in control? Well, yes, you can be in control of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to actually work on.
Okay, well, Michael, tell us a little bit about the course anyway. When is the next, how can people get in contact
the
with
next
you?
The next one is happening in August. I think it's August 22nd. But the best thing to do is to have a look on the internet. It's flyfearless.ie, so FlyFearless, flyfearless.ie. There's an introductory video that I put there which answers a lot of people's questions. We've put a lot of support material up there. We've got links to websites about turbulence. We've got Jerry Fleming from Medair and explaining what turbulence and lightning is. You know, there's a whole lot of material people can have a look at. I will say to you, though, that it takes people about 6 months to decide to come on a course. Now, we don't sort of, you know, me having a chat with you, I don't expect that I'll see somebody coming on a course now in the next 2 weeks. Because for people, what a lot of people are worried about initially is that it will work. that they'll end up on a plane and then that it won't work again. So we have to mind people through that phase. I'm also more than happy to have a chat with people if they want to call, and I have a number if you want that number.
Yeah.
It's a low call number, 1-890.
Yeah.
2000.
Yeah.
47. So 20047. Right. And, you know, that we'll answer people's questions on that one. But the booking is all done on the internet. The course is €200 for the entire day, including the flight simulator, the course materials. But that also includes 3 months of telephone support afterwards.
Okay.
So once you've done the course, you can give me a call before you head off on your flight, and I'll sort of put your ducks in a row for you.
Right.
And then you can bring somebody with you on the program who is not afraid of flying as your coach, and they come along for 80. So it's a, you know, we try to keep the price around the same as a flight to London. That was the original way we did the pricing on it, is that if you're going to be going off on a flight, then that's how much you're going to be spending by the time you get there with your bags, bits and bobs as well.
Great, Michael. Well, listen, thanks for talking to us here this morning on Lifeline. The web address is flyfearless.ie if you want to have a look up or find out any more about it. Or you can give Michael a ring on low call, isn't it? 1-890-2047.
It is.
That's great, Michael. Thanks for talking to us here this morning.
My pleasure, Debbie. Thank you.